Look at this diverse panel right now. Okay,
very like, diverse.
Who wouldn't trust us?
You're like you look like curry color.
Curry,
curry,
like curry powder.
I thought curry was like yellow.
Yeah.
I hate you. I'm up.
All right. So anyway, if you're a roasted chicken, you'd just be like the little thigh because you're so tiny.
Thank you.
Speaking of being
the dark
based,
meat.
based. You're the dark meat. You're the hemoglobin. And I'm doing this because I have a giant scar under my chin and it now feels like my head is falling off. And I'm putting pressure because my neck went numb.
This is how we do the show now, guys.
So my apologies why I'm doing this. And my producer, instead of taking me off the screen, seeing and knowing that I'm having neck pain, just left it on the screen and has just said, everyone can see Elijah trying to get through this episode, you know, without having to take more pain meds.
Everyone in the comments always says they want to look at me anyway, so we'll just leave the camera on me.
Yes.
And it could be Elijah's commentary. I'll just do this. Okay, ready? Go ahead, Elijah.
Yeah. Well, like, and then, like, this is my point about the PSYOP. Like, CNN's like, first of all, the fact that my producer has, like, the body of, like, a 13-year-old.
I hate you!
Savannah. Oh, Savannah.
It's me. Well, man, it's me and Elijah Schaefer. Hi.
Oh, Savannah. Savannah, people are clicking on this. They're reading a title. They're confused. I'm confused. Mm. In fact, it's not because you're leaving. It's just that the West has been going through ultra confusion for like 26 years at the very least. But 2022, people were hoping. They're like, you know, with the war in Ukraine and, you know, COVID-2 AIDS, can we bring some normalcy, some consistency in our lives? Can we actually have something we can rely on, like the loving relationship that has never had any tension, no hatred, no digging, no sarcasm, undertones or bites to it? The relationship between Savannah Hernandez and Elijah Schaefer, at least we still have that.
We did.
We did.
Yes. So obviously this episode is titled Goodbye Sav. I can't even, you know, think coherently because I'm so sad that we're even having to record this here.
I know. Because, well, in the reality, I mean, if I'm looking at this, we're going to be going over some amazing stuff and I don't really know what the title means, but I will say we've had a crazy few years and it turns out that this may be Savannah's last episode. Period. And I'm going to try not to get sad because it's like, sucks, but.
Stop. We are 2 minutes into this. You're not allowed to cry yet. You're not allowed to. No.
It's been fun getting punched by poor black people and having you make fun of me. Very few women that look like you're the size of a Kiwi, but with the tenacity of an angry Mexican.
Yes.
And yet at the same time, your people are responsible for spreading COVID. I'm losing my diversity hire. Now everyone's going to know that I'm actually racist. It's not a joke.
It's okay, Lige. I feel like there are a lot of other people that you could replace me with that could be equally, if not more, diverse.
Yes, yes.
But if anything, like, honestly, just you're going to have to memorialize me with a member of the diversity coalition.
I just can't believe that you are leaving because you got AIDS and you need to get treatment. And I like, you might not just not be here, but you might not be on the earth.
I know.
In a matter of months. It sucks.
If you'll allow me, my ghost would love to come be a guest on this show at one point or another.
Yeah. And you know, in a serious somber moment like this is a good time for me to give a huge shout out to the Undertech boxers.
Our favorite boxers. Guys, if you're sad and you need extra support, both emotionally and for your balls, go to Get Undertech.
You can use Undertech boxers to wipe the rare tears from your eyes, although I prefer if they're washed or if they're new. But of course, if you want to be able to keep that moisture away, make sure that you trust the boxers that I trust my junk with, not only as Elijah, but to future Elijah juniors and generations. In fact, I love them so much that the way that I left this show, being the last show with Savannah, that we are giving her Undertech boxers. And she has told me that maybe she doesn't have my support, but don't they just give you the support that you need, Savannah?
1,000%. 1,000%. Exactly. I actually wear them and it feels like a hug. You know what I mean?
No, it's true. But guys, I'm going to tell you guys this on a real note. Undertack boxers, I have like so many pairs. I can't even count them. My wife's like, why do you have so many pairs of these? It's like, because I have the briefs for working out. I have different types of colors so you can see them through different types of pants. As you know, my pants are always like one size too small, but these always fit perfectly. And of course, they are battlefield tested. And it's a company that supports your values. They're very high quality, like extreme, like the highest. They don't ride up. They don't peel. They don't get smelly. And honestly, they retain their quality in the elastic band doesn't get wear out. So it's like some of you guys are like, where can I get high quality boxers from a company that supports me? Go to getundertack.com right now. That's getundertac.com and use my promo code offensive20 for 20% off your order with the offer code. So that's offensive20, offensive20. That's offensive20. So on top of being a superior product for 30% less, you can save an additional 20% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. That's getundertack.com. Use a code offensive20. And in case you want to know, there are other premium boxer brands, and some of them I've worked with, and then they stopped sponsoring me because I stand up for the country. And these people backed me up even when other people abandoned us. So please support them when they support you the most. So a lot of you guys, I have to say, a lot of you guys might be wondering what's going on. And so basically, we're just going to be looking at the life between Savannah and I the last couple years, what we've been doing, because it has been, I would say, Savannah, you've chosen probably the most normal person. Consistent person, perfect person, handsome.
So true.
The guy who's literal, like has stayed the same weight for 2 years, but whose face changes shape day to day because he has lymphedema and his face gets swollen. And I don't know. I don't
Sometimes
know how to stop
you
it.
Come in and I'm like, who are you? Where's Elijah? And I'm like, oh, it is you. My bad.
Well, and you're like, oh, it is still you.
Yeah.
No, but you know, but we're going to talk about this later in the show. If you want to know why and what's going on with Sav, you got to stick this through. You got to watch this, but you got to enjoy the moment. And we wanted to look a little bit about our past together in our relationship, because Savannah, I want to be completely straight here with you. Mm-hmm. There were moments where we both almost committed homicides.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's actually a huge lie. Me and Elijah have never fought in our lives, and we've never ever had contention. You know, it's always been like the most beautiful relationship. Every single time after we finish recording a show, we sit in like a little circle and we sing Kumbaya. It's beautiful every time.
Yeah, don't ever believe women, especially Hispanic women. They're both liars and they're crazy. But obviously with Savannah and with what's going on, I know that you came around. We met like in person at the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. We had met on the phone, and you answered in your same bitchy voice at InfoWars, and I'd call and I would be, you know, ready to go with black tape on my nipples, wearing a wife beater, a beanie on the back of my head, dressed like an Antifa wife beater. Mm-hmm. Very serious stuff.
Super serious. And I was actually really intimidated to, you know, come here and work for you just because of your legacy, of who you are, of everything that you've done, the persona that you put out into the world. I was just like, you know what? I don't know. This man's the next Tucker Carlson. It's very serious, not at all a joke. Like, I'm going to have to be very serious with my career from this point forward. I didn't know if I was ready, but here we are.
But here we are. And you answer your phone, and the first time I meet you, you're like, hello, Mr. Schaefer.
I was like, hola.
Hola. Hola, elote. She was the elote seller. No, but we met. And then we ended up meeting in the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C. in the better times when we weren't worried about people locking us in jail and closing down our bank accounts and sending us into World War III.
It was a different time.
We were like, it was more like FUPA sweat, obese women with herpes, like waving dildos in support of trans kids, mm-hmm. and like topless celebrities talking about blowing up the White House. Simpler times, cuter times.
Right. Like skinny Antifas that were just kind of screaming out into the ether. They haven't necessarily militarized yet. They were just kind of angry at that point. They weren't throwing fists. And then everything just really devolved so quickly into where we're currently at in the modern day, I would say.
I know. So let's talk about this. So then you told me, you're like, hey, listen, I'm pretending, which this is the part she left out. I'm pretending to be normal and I'm in a pretty dress and I look nice and I'd love to work with you. And I was like, yeah, like I want to get my podcast more started. Things are changing. Things are different. And this was right before the pandemic started, actually. This is during CPAC. So this was like right before we even knew about COVIDs and all these types of things. And it was like, and what did I say? I was like, we are going to, then I'll figure out a way. We'll find a way to work together. I don't know how, because my show has no budget because they keep, all my advertisers keep leaving, which hasn't changed. Am I right?
Correct. Dude, okay, now that we're talking about this though too, bro, we met at CPAC right before COVID began. And what did you just tell me when you came in here that they finally today just ended the emergency order?
That's what they said allegedly. And we could be completely wrong because it's Twitter.
The point is like we started together right when COVID, or I guess we met and we, like, you know, we're in the works of working together when COVID started. And then throughout the entire duration to now where it's ended.
Yeah.
That's been our whole journey. It's been kind of crazy.
I'm like, I'm looking back right now and I'm thinking, man, and remember this too, with CPAC was one of the first major events where there was a reported COVID case. And we knew that we knew later that it was gonna be politicized. They chose the Conservative Political Action Committee to say that we were the first people to really spread COVID. Mm-hmm. And people might not know this, but I think I might have been the first person or not that got put on mandatory lockdown by the city of Los Angeles upon returning. I did do a 2-week lockdown.
Yeah.
That was like the only time I told everyone I took it seriously for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, because they were like, it might emerge, it's so contagious, you might die. And I'm like, what is this? And then we went on lockdown, genuinely. And then I didn't die. And then nobody died from CPAC. The only thing that I died inside was having to get through that event, because that's a rough event. I'd rather go through COVID again than have to go to another CPAC, to be completely honest. But but I will say we met in the middle of this conflict, and it's weird that in the midst of that, you were at InfoWars, you were working for the great Alex Jones, who's going through his own shit right now. And eventually we were talking, we were praying, right? And we were like, okay, I think God, we had the same word from God. It was like, I think God said we're supposed to work together.
Yeah. And then we did, and it was a very long process, but it finally worked out. And then it was just like peachy keen from there. We never had any issues. We never had a studio we had to build together.
Nope.
We didn't have to start in your bedroom because, you know, COVID was happening and all the studios were shut down. It was just like, it was a dream the whole time.
Yeah, well, let's look at our past. Let's take a wonderful dip into the wonderful world of Savannah and Elijah's relationship, which again, never involved domestic violence.
Ever. Never.
Never.
We would never.
Never drank too much and hit each other. Never took shots of vodka and slapped the shit out of each other's faces. Never
Elijah
did that.
Never threw a pizza at me down 3 flights of stairs while he was drunk in the middle of the night. That never happened. I remember that moment and I was just like, this bitch is crazy. I kind of like him.
Me? Everyone leaves full pizza, goes to the 3rd floor, throws a giant pepperoni pizza at you.
I was just like, white people be wilded. Always. I was waiting to meet a calm white person. And then the next person I worked for after Alex Jones was Elijah Schaefer. And I was like, okay.
Well, I told her, I was like, you know, it's going to be kind of wild working together. Mm-hmm. But then, like, you worked for Alex Jones, so I can't be as bad. I don't think... I'm not in a bad way, meaning in a good way. He's friends, meaning...
Like, he's very high energy.
He's more high energy than I... At least I laugh more, I think.
He's very serious, for sure.
Yeah, I laugh more. Okay, so what's funny is, like, I'm like, I tell Savannah, I'm like, all right, I work for Blaze TV. And like, she might not be so familiar with the show at this point that, like, low-key, like, when I wasn't lying to you about the fact that we were, like, a very low-budget show.
Yeah. So when we say the best worst show on Blaze TV, that's not a joke. It's not a joke.
Yeah, we're I told her, I was like, hey, let's take this, like, crappy pod, like recordings that I do on Fridays. Mm-hmm. Let's try to turn it into, like, a real show, like a long-format show. I need your help. And then when I brought her in, she found out that my studio was in a guest bedroom. And then I didn't even have a computer.
And then you were hand building our computer. Because normally, like, producer means you come in, right? And then you have everything set up and you just sit down and you're like, cool, let me do this show. But producer, when we started out, meant we're building a whole computer together, bitch. Let's go to Micro Center.
And I never did it. I was like, I've never built a computer before, but we can't afford to buy one. So we're going to have to build it. And I, like, don't know how to do this. And we don't have any tools because we just, like, moved here recently. And then also, the day that you start, Andy Ngo, the journalist, is... staying the night. So he's going to be chilling on the guest bed while we work. Yeah. With his little like shorts and like flickering his little like Asian toes together.
So this was a throwback right here for the podcast listeners. We're just playing some of this B-roll of Elijah and I's first studio in his guest bedroom. And like Elijah was saying, so I literally had to crawl over Andy No's little cot in the corner in the morning. I was like, hey, Andy, I have to get the show ready. I'm so sorry. So I'm like crawling over Andy to like get this show started and set up. And we're in this tiny bedroom. There's like a plant in the corner and I'm just trying to get things set up. It was so chaotic, but we made it work. We made it work.
Yeah, literally right to the left of Andy is his bed. Like where Seth is. It's like a bed. And we like, so we've been kind of like slightly offensive. It's been making do with like a lot. Like even when I started, by the way, when this channel had like 600 subscribers, I already was using a camera crew of like three people to make my street videos. Mm-hmm. Cause I've always wanted to bring aesthetics and like do better than we could with
You're
what
we had. Person. Yes.
Yeah. White people just like that. I don't know what it is about white people, but we're like born with taste, but yet at the same time, I can't afford it. So then you can never reach it. So then you realize like you can never reach it. But all I knew is this, that right-wing media never cared about aesthetics. And so, but the worst part is that they don't realize that they're bad at it. So that's why I just make fun of the broom closet idea, because we've never, like, that's wallpaper that was like
that was
coming
a good
off
setup. Like, look how good that looked though.
And we did that. I set that up in one night. Like that it was just OG set it setup. Up, just set it up in a night. And
the
we're like, let's go.
About this shot too, is that we had to keep it. I mean, if you panned up, half of that wallpaper was ripped off.
Because my hair light fell off the wall and it like ripped all the, it was like we damaged the wall. So it was like broken above.
Yeah.
But we were like, I was like, okay. And also too, which we still have the same computer, which has gone through hell with like replacements, mm-hmm. is that we, like, you see my camera in his shot. It was so small. It was like, you knew our computer never worked. Mm-hmm. Nothing ever worked. But I was like, dude, help me build something. Help me get this show so that it works, because we can't do street videos. Nobody will talk to you. You know, the riots were already going on. I was having a hard time, but you came in and I was like, if we're going to bring a new person into the show, if people want to know, this is 2019. My channel had only, or 2020, my channel had only existed for about two years at this point. And it, the podcast was like less than a year old, I think at this point, maybe it was a little more than a year old.
I think I came in at episode like 90, right? 93 maybe.
No, but I'm saying, but it wasn't a podcast because they were like 22 minute. They were like 22
That's
minute mini-sodes. It was a show.
You were kind of not sure what the podcast was at this point. You were at like episode 90, but they were not necessarily like these hour-long episodes with all the advertisements. And so I think this is episode 232, but when I got here, you were on 90. So we've really grown a lot. We've done a lot of episodes together.
Well, and I remind you, it's nice that with someone of your stature that you can grow in other places when height wasn't the option. It's like, you know what I mean? Like God gives you opportunities. Thank the white man for giving you an opportunity. It's been two white men have helped you in your career.
I know.
It's crazy. They hate us. They hate us, but we give the opportunities.
That's why I've always been against the hatred of the white community in America, because it has been white men that have helped uplift my minority voice for the majority of my life. So thank you. Truly.
We're not bad. We're not bad. And Andy No, by the way, who's totally a sweetheart and we love him so much.
We love Andy.
It's such an amazing gentlemen. And I will say this, but so we started going on the field together because obviously your dream has always been to be what? Where are you?
I already disappeared. I'm like, look, me, this episode,
the show next episode. I know. It's like, yeah, my day. Hey, what do you say, Eric July? It's a close up of Eric July. Okay. All right. I shouldn't say that. Okay. I'll say it again one more time in the show, but okay. Yeah. So, but like you and I were like, okay, let's just be crazy. I'm like, dude, I don't know what's going on in life. Mm-hmm. I'm like, my mom just died. I don't know what's happening. I just moved states. But like, you want to go like try to go get beat up in other states. You want to go film stuff. And I think one of the first places we went to together on the field was Philadelphia.
Yeah, it was Philly. Here's some B-roll of that. We're filming this gigantic riot, probably one of the biggest ones I had ever seen. What was it? Like a straight up mile of shops.
It was like two square miles of shops being looted at the same time.
Yeah, and the cops just blocked the road off because there was nothing that they could do. And then everyone was just going ham and you and I were just like, heck yeah, let's go. Let's go get this footage. We're out.
Well, yeah, and I think like that I should just hire her. Like, I don't even know if we had like insurance or anything in place. And I was like, hey, you want to like go break into buildings together and film? And I'm like the retard who wears my merch while I film riots with angry black children of the dark, of the hood. Mm-hmm. But I know like we were there. Dude, that was so fun. We were rolling under security gates, that walking was, to yeah. CVS's. Oh, okay, be honest with me. Do you ever like get tempted to just like it's like you're like in a parking lot and there's like a pair of like glasses on the floor that are like Ray-Bans. You're like, are we ever going back to the store?
Yeah,
are
these, I pick we keep them up these? And I like hold them and I'm like, I could have these. And then I like put them back down and I'm like, no.
Yeah. I'm like in Walmart and there's like PlayStations and the glass is broken. You're like, I mean, like I see that's like, it's like, I mean, I never did steal anything, but like,
No, that's a lie. You dirty liar. Remember when you
I stole a water bottle.
Yeah, remember you were having like an asthma attack?
Yes. Can you really steal water? It's God made it. Like, I mean, can you steal from the Lord other than maybe your tithes? I did steal. Okay.
You took a water once because you were having an asthma attack. So I guess that's okay.
I will say that I have taken a beer from someone while doing a riot that I don't know if it was stolen or not. I'll confess that on this show. It's new confession. I might have had stolen liquor at an event. Because sometimes it's just like, it's so crazy that you'd have to just sit down on a curb and drink a beer because I don't know what to do. Because there was no way to understand. But that was like kind of fun. And I think that that's really interesting that that's been your dream. But then you came on when like the riots were slowing down, which sucked. Because obviously Alex Jones cared more about your safety than I did. Because he like wouldn't let you go to some of the more dangerous stuff. And I'm like, dude, like, you're brown. Go in there.
I know.
I'm gonna put you in a catapult and throw you into the front. I'm gonna get you past the police lines. Just
actually, with
you.
A lot of this footage, the reason why we were able to get such a good imagery was because me and Julio Rosas, who were Hispanic and short and little and fit right in with all the looters, just walked right on in. And then what happened when Elijah Schaefer tried to walk in? He gets punched in the face, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you know what? I want to say this. A lot of people say they want to punch me in the face. Mm-hmm. So I still think it's funny that that happened like right when you got hired.
This was like what, a month in?
Yeah, this was like I think our first like major event out in the field.
Yeah,
and I was like, yeah, I'm retarded. Which I do want to say this. I'll say something later. I'm not going to say it now because people need to keep watching this. I don't know what this episode is, but I just wanted to put the world on pause because we are losing Savannah, and I want you to get that through your head. We are losing her. She's not going to be completely gone, though. And I'll explain that later, too. But it's like, we got to soak it in. So wherever you are, put down your crack pipe that you got from the Biden administration. Stop masturbating if you're on the toilet. As I know it's hard when I'm on the screen. I know it's tempting.
With his face busted open.
Yeah, I know. This forehead, it's like, I mean, you know, they say size doesn't matter. But when it's big. And I know that it does something to you.
I know.
Just remind you that this is where Savannah departs. And then we have to talk about the past and we have to look at it because we got to reminisce because we got to remember because Slightly Offensive comes in epics. That means if Savannah's leaving, it's like entertainment value is not going down because every time somebody new comes in, we kind of like rechange everything. Like we start new arcs. I'm not the kind of person who brings people in to replace people. Mm-hmm. If somebody leaves, we just do something new. Like, do you know what I'm saying? It's like, we just we build on what we have because nobody can replace Savannah Hernandez.
Oh, stop.
It's true. It's true. But I will say this. So when we first started at Blaze, where is this? What is this empty room? What is this B-roll?
Okay, hang on. Let me see here. Okay. So I have this B-roll, Lige, because this is our studio now, okay? Here's Lige right here, right? This was our studio when we started and when we got here.
The same position. I mean, I should go flip between the two. Hey, I've lost some weight since then.
You really have, dude. Look at your face. That's kind of crazy. That's insane.
Yeah, wow.
But that was
I looked like a gourd. I looked like a gourd.
We first got here. So I was just, you know, going through all of our adventures and our transition from the Slightly Offensive bedroom to the Slightly Offensive broom closet. This was the beginning of that. This was our first time in Blaze Studios. And the reason why we had to come into Blaze Studios is because of J6th, because, you know, somebody was being targeted by our government. And then we had to move to the studios. And this was the first looks of it.
Well, I know. I was gonna say, what's funny is it's been what, 2 years, and we still haven't gotten the coloring right on our cameras. Like, we still can't figure out how to, we still can't figure out white balance.
Yeah.
I don't know. Look, I don't know what the hell, but whoever's coming in next, I'll tell you what, Savannah's hot and she's talented, but like camera, controlling cameras.
Not my strong point.
That's like, that's where her Mexican side comes out and her Asian side is dormant. She's like, it's like technology. It's like, where's her, she's Asian for the wrong reasons. And so it's like, all right, cool. But at least, but we're there, we're hanging out. I'm like, damn, I look like shit.
Dude, look at your face right there next to your face right now. Where are your eyebrows? Your eyebrows. That's what it is.
Now you know why I dyed them. Everyone says I shouldn't have dyed them. I think I should have.
Dude, you literally don't have eyebrows.
Look, I'm just going to say this. Somebody else is in the room that you guys, that's not on camera, but I don't think you can hear me. Whoever's in the room on off camera, looking at the screen right there, it's better with the brows. Am I right? And everyone just thinks they're bad because they're transgender eyebrows because the freaking Indian woman
like,
who did them.
The comparison right here.
No, it's because the shape of them look like homosexual eyebrows, but they have the same eyebrows that were blonde. You just couldn't tell that they're like there.
You just have great eyebrows.
Yeah, I have good eyebrows. I didn't have any. I can't go back to that. We can't go back.
You literally look like you do not have. I didn't.
I said they were invisible.
I didn't realize it until I'm looking at it right now. I'm just like, who is he?
Yeah, it's and my face was like puffed out and went in, and now it's like back to like normal.
Wow, this isn't even the Goodbye Sad episode. This is the transformation of Elijah episode. Round of applause. Okay.
What's crazy though is like. It's like, you look the exact same. You just look like you're about to like build a railroad in 1860. Like, Ching Tao, Ming Tao. Like you're literally like racist yellow. When they have those like, almost like yellow face cartoons, almost like the minstrel or whatever, the, what is it called? Minstrel show?
Minstrel of his period.
Well, their lips look like they had been getting the minstrel show. But I meant like, you look like that like stereotype white balance where you're like yellow. Mm-hmm. Like not how Asians look, but that's you. You're more of like I said, a curry. You're more like a curry. And I do want to tell you guys, obviously, as we talk about this, we look at some funny moments coming up. It's important to understand that your Second Amendment rights are what are protecting your first. And if you see around the world, man, with America moving in this direction, thank God for our firearms. I was showing Katie Hopkins the other night how like I just like have like an AR-15, which is like sitting in my car and like just hanging out, and I'm gonna go do some shooting, and I love it, and I'm free, and Sav is too. And part of the thing that we love is the fact that we're able to carry our firearms around with us literally everywhere using Northwest Retention holsters and concealers, as well as active wear like the chest scout holster. Now, I don't know about you, but I never thought a lot about accessories, and I didn't know how important it was to have a gun that fits well but not too tightly in a holster. You want it to not accidentally be removed, but you want to be able to remove it fast. And this is why they make for hundreds of firearms custom holsters. They're not only amazing in the highest premium quality and American made and works American workers in a brand that not only supports you, but supports our values. But you're never just looking like a badass when you're wearing one. Am I right, Savannah? Like, it's like just kind of
yes.
Like, it's like just kind of cool. Like you just get this like sick holster. It doesn't look bulky and lame. Mm-hmm. It's low profile. And it's like, I mean, look at Savannah. I mean, like,
it's really hard to make me look cool, but Northwest Retention holsters make me look cool.
Yeah, literally. It's not even hard for me. It's impossible. And like when I put it on, it's like, all right, it's, you know, I'm sorry to the owner of Northwest Retention. I know this is kind of crass, but like, yo, it'll make the chicks moist. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm going to say.
Goodness.
That's all I'm saying. But also to their amazing company, and check out their website to see all that they have to offer. Premium quality and satisfaction guaranteed. They offer a lifetime warranty, which is a big part of what we like about them. And they've got you covered with holsters done right. Visit nwretention.com. That's nwretention.com. That's nwretention, nwretention.com. Promo code offensive for 10% off. And Sav, they're so good. I don't even like, you just want to support the company. It's like, you don't even need the 10% off, but it's just like nice to have. But it's like, I mean, I bought so many of them. I mean, they're amazing.
Company is amazing. The owner is amazing. We absolutely love their products.
I know. Watch, you leave and I'm like, watch your show and it's going to be all the same advertisers. NW Retention.
I'm like, Northwest Retention. Coupon code SAG.
Same picture. It's like, hey.
Right?
just cut the ads out from the show and blur the Blaze logo. It's like, all right.
Yeah, good. I just use your exact same reads and everything, except I just like steal everything you say. It is beautiful.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, we did have some funny moments that I want to look at. So we will look at the beginning, some of the favorite things that I had said to you. I think you have to, in order to work on the show, have to have really thick skin and like have, like understand inappropriate humor. Like I think Katie Hopkins said that, is like the meaner and more inappropriate you are with someone, the more that you have to make sure you like them, mm-hmm. because like everybody knows that you have to be nice to people that you don't like. Like literally, like, no, like you do, meaning like, cause like you, you do. Like, you're nice to be like, oh, yeah, nice to meet you. But, like, you're like, what's up, ho? What's up, bitch? Like, it's like, yeah. Like, you can be
fun.
The way
that you and I greet each other every single time you walk into this office.
I know.
Pretty crazy. No one will ever know what that is.
I know.
It's a super secret code that Elijah
and I have. I don't want to go through it, but I remember one of my favorite guests we had was Gazi Kozdo.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember this? When we couldn't stop laughing because he was so racist against white people that I was like, can we play this video number two?
Yes.
I would say that you're an agent of colonialism.
The only way to overturn that.
Wait, did you say Wakanda?
The only way to overturn that is to attack that system of colonialism, which has separated us.
Overturn.
It means to take something and turn it around. It means to take something and turn it around.
That's what Wakanda means.
Can you say overturn?
I can say overturn.
Your language.
But I'm saying it's Wakanda.
I know you look like a shaved monkey, but you don't understand this language. I know a lot of y'all grow tails, but you don't understand this language. I know your ass is big as my pinky. You don't understand your own goddamn language. It's called overturn.
Oh man,
he got one part right,
the micro penis. But I did love the fact that we had a black supremacist on. Remember, this is how we've always talked about the hypocrisy, like, because, like, not Blaze itself, like, establishment media always gets mad about the people that I interact with. It's like, oh, like, all right, getting blacklisted from YAF because it's obviously because, like, you know, I'm willing to interview like Nick Fuentes or something like that, which is like, it's so shocking. It's like so edgy to have a conversation with someone. What a losers the right has become, like, just absolute pathetic losers. And it's like, and then you have a black supremacist on who literally hates white people, and they're like, well, that's okay.
Well, we're really open to diversity of thought, and we really want to hear from the black community. So, yes, they called you a shaved monkey and said that you were not human, but that's their right to say so, as, you know, highlighted by the First Amendment. Thank you.
I know, and we got to have him back on, and you're not going to be around
so
here.
Crazy. Ugh.
I also say, just in the sake of this, this is what I think is so funny, is like with like that whole Jack Murphy shit and stuff too, people saying I should have said something and stuff. If you don't realize, like, I don't know if you've learned this working with me, is like, I find tense situations to be quite hilarious, and people who are like mean and are horrible, like, I find it to be quite funny. Because it's like, imagine you're like a grown man, 250 pounds, and you're like threatened by like Sidney Watson, or imagine you're this guy and you are like you look like a gay background character for like a Marvel comic movie, and you're wearing like a dashiki or whatever, and you can't even have fast enough internet to get resolution. I remember he said he was couch surfing, and then me, who's like got my own show and employees, he's like, you're a white shaved monkey. And you're like, dog, I have things to say about you, but they would get taken off the internet, so I'm just gonna laugh at you because you literally, like, Rapunzel, you got rope for hair, brother.
Yeah, his shirt looks like the same exact thing that Nancy Pelosi had draped around her neck. Remember when they were all kneeling for George Floyd? So good representation on that front. Gazi was crazy. He really was. I wish I could have met him in person.
Well, I'm going to. I'm getting him a studio. They hit me up. I got to get him in studio. He's flying again, and he's a gift to humanity. Literally a gift. I'm just saying, like, I find all these ridiculous characters out there quite entertaining and funny in the end. Mm-hmm. I'm not really threatened by them, and I don't get my undertack boxers caught up in a wad. But I have found that you're the same way too. Where, like, I think you came in and you were more like, not triggered, but more like wanted to kill these people. And I was like, girl, chill.
Yeah.
Just like learn to laugh a little bit at like the ridiculousness of the world. And I think we've both learned to laugh at a lot of things that even years ago we probably were more angry about, and just being like, dude, there's no point to waste your energy trying to defend yourself. Like, if we have to put these people up against a wall or something like that one day, maybe that'll happen. But at this point, let's laugh.
Yeah, you did teach me to laugh at a lot of this, because oftentimes I would get really upset about it. And I still definitely do. Just because these people reflect everything that's wrong with society, it is easier to laugh at them. But yeah, there was definitely a part of me that was like, all right, let's go to war. But at that point, it's because, what, I was fresh off of getting mobbed by Antifa, attacked by BLM multiple times. Things have died down over the year. But I mean, look, we're already seeing the resurgence of Antifa right ahead of the midterms. So a lot of that energy is probably going to come back.
No, you're 100%. And I was going to say, like, I also think, too, that's why, like, you and I, I think we're so crave blood and like being in the middle of shit, that like when things were slowing down and we had to just like focus on non things. We started acting like retards and like creating like weird intros to our show, which by the way, no one appreciated. I'm going to say this. No one appreciated this intro.
This was the best. Like, dude, remember we made this and we were so hyped about it.
Everyone
like,
hated it.
This is the best thing we've ever made ever. And everyone was like, that was pathetic. And we were like, y'all don't see the vision. We were like Kanye West. Okay. We're visionaries. Mm-hmm. The people didn't see the vision.
Bro, like that's why everyone's mad that Kanye West made a music video with clay animation characters burying Pete Davidson alive.
Skate.
That's epic.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, Kanye's a visionary. Once again, he's being attacked for presenting new ideas, as are me and Elijah all the time.
Yeah, but we have this. We did this Stonk Wars intro, which is our favorite intro we made. It's so bad, but it's so good. This is the kind of quality we bring you here with the high budget that we have. We actually sometimes can even afford Chick-fil-A. So we're on the up and up. Let's go ahead and let's watch this.
You're about to be blessed again.
Welcome to the Stonk Wars.
I love this intro so much. Ready for the drop?
Slightly offensive, episode 121, The Rise of Dogecoin Nationalism. Billionaires bet against GameStop and tried to drive down the stock of this outdated retailer. But the Reddit bros, Wall Street Bets, saw this and decided to fight back against
pretty
the
good.
Suits. They bought up GME stocks, driving up the price.
Pretty good.
Wall Street retaliated.
Dude, the shitty flute in the background, dude.
The amount of times we just started our days off playing shitty flute music in the studio was like to get ourselves. Dude, because you know what's crazy is like people don't realize that like doing this as a job, it brings up a lot of problems in your personal life. Like this is not a job you can separate. There's no such thing. There's no divide. Like people even wonder. Why maybe I bring my wife around less on camera and stuff. It's not because of any other reason. The fact that people have been so wicked towards us and my family that like it's sort of like a protection mechanism because like the more things have been successful and done well. But it's also like too, like, you know, there's like, you know, you get health problems and mental problems and there's so much that goes on besides the show, just doing things and speaking. And I know a lot of you have jobs like that too. So if you have a job like that specifically and you're someone, you know, you're listening and you're just like, yeah, my job, I can't separate it from my personal life. You know, it's like then you bring your personal life into your job. And Sav and I have done that a lot. And so like, you know, we've gone through like mental health issues and, you know, relationship issues and like not just like romantically meaning, but like, you know, friendships and different things. And it all just kind of meshes together. But the show must go on. And it's like, I think it teaches you something that you can kind of get through anything and like not to make a big deal of the small things. You know what I mean? I feel like I've learned a lot.
Having a bad day, you just play shitty flute and then it makes everything better. You come to work and you make a crappy mock Star Wars intro because Dogecoin is rising and the Stonk Wars are in full effect. And then you sit back and you look at your creation, release it onto the world. And then everyone's like, this is trash. And you're like, no, it was amazing. We're visionaries.
Right. And I think this is what happened. I was able to make stuff like this before. I was doing like 8 shows a week. Yeah. No, but I'm actually getting back to this because as you guys will find, I'll tell you some of the plans for the show going forward and how we're going to still be loving and knowing Savannah from afar. Savannah's like an HIV infected person where it's like, I just want to make sure you're not contagious. And then once I figure it out, we'll get back to having fun because we need to destigmatize what you think about HIV. Sign up today at hiv.com/prep. Have you seen those commercials where it's like, have you seen those ones? Like,
I have not.
The stigma behind HIV is an old thing. I'm like, oh, so you're telling me all of a sudden, or maybe you guys have been lying about it for decades, just like you do about every other virus. Maybe. I'm getting super AIDS-pilled. I've told you this. I might make an episode. We should make a slightly event called AIDS-pilled. Okay. I'm AIDS-pilled.
Yeah, I'm like, can this be like the mini intro? Like, give me like a 2-minute rough introduction because I'm interested.
Okay, so just like we're finding patent similarities between SARS-CoV-2 and Moderna patents for a vaccine and that was years prior to the release of this into the public. AIDS has a very similar pattern. In fact, you know, Dr. Roberts and Fauci and some of these individuals that are still running these organizations today were the same people behind this. Now, what's really interesting, and I'm going to summarize this here to be careful because I have to make sure I word everything in the future right because they have a general vax policy like for all of these things. If we start to where we are now, that 3 days before we found out that there's a new variant of HIV, I think it's AD or is it AB? AD, right? Or is it? What is it called? So there's I just call AIDS too, even though it's not, I know AIDS is the disease that develops from it, right? Mm-hmm. But like, let's just, because this is slightly offensive, just straight up go into AIDS too. Okay. Like we're in AIDS too, right? Like if COVID comes back, it's just COVID too. You know what I mean? We're just,
COVID
it's just
2.0. Yeah.
COVID part two. It's the same thing. We figured out in both sexes how to cure AIDS. Mm-hmm. Like literally.
Okay. That's
a little, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Technically HIV, but yes, we can like literally cure the infection and then we don't develop into this disease. Then 3 days later, after they go, we finally did it and we've successfully treated a third person and it works with different blood types. AIDS 2 came out. That's resistant to our new treatments. Okay.
Okay.
Do you get where I'm going with this?
Talking about now, yes.
So now when you go back and you look back at AIDS, they were trying to create a medication. They were looking for like a retrovirus and they were trying to create a vaccine and it wasn't working and they needed a new, they were trying to test something. And then all of a sudden HIV came out. Now, I always bring this up. Coincidentally, HIV only affected the deplorables or the unwanted in society. Black right. people, Africa, and gay people. Mm-hmm. Which I would say to Kayla, you know, apparently the guys have been cool with the lesbians longer than internet porn. Like, internet porn is not the first time guys were chill with lesbians. Apparently, when the HIV was coming out, it was just like, maybe that's what I'm saying. It's like what God was like, you know what? I said homosexuality is a sin, but the lesbians can stay. The homo's gotta go though. The bros, stop putting your pee-pee in their poo-poo. Gone, wiped out, pestilence, 11th plague. But I mean, okay, so like already a deadly virus that's easily transmitted mm-hmm. is like really just in some groups.
Right, right. That was already
contained
suspicious.
To a continent.
Already suspicious. And then we figure out how to cure it. And now it's like, well, guess what, guys? Now there's a new version that
But also, did you see what the causes of, do you see what the causes of death are?
Does it have to do with heart issues?
It is possible that the medication causes AIDS that for HIV. Anyway, okay, I'm not going to get into that. So then you can control who develops AIDS because you can make sure they have the medication to treat it. And then, of course, when you have super developed HIV and problems with AIDS, it can develop naturally. But, of course, you can promote it. And there's a lot of issues, and I won't talk about it because I don't want to go there right now. But it looks like they were intentionally killing people. And that's why all of a sudden, have you noticed, as medications have changed, all of a sudden people aren't dying. It's not because it's not preventing people from dying. All of a sudden, you can live with HIV. I don't know if you heard that. It's like HIV is not deadly anymore all of a sudden. Like, it's just like, you know, and then yeah. and if you look at what PrEP is, we've had that technology for a long time. So all of a sudden we could have been preventing the spread of it, but we weren't. And then if you look at the exact what was said by Fauci, it was the same thing. And then they tried this with the swine flu as well. Mm-hmm. I just want to say this has been long term progress and they've been trying to get these passport and ID systems for decades. And so let's just go move on. Okay, that's the basic summary of being AIDS pilled.
Okay.
But we'll bring details into an episode.
We're very interesting. Very interesting. I love, dude, and see, to all the podcast listeners, that's like a basic example of every single one of our conversations. It starts off where we're like talking about Star Wars and shitty flu, and then somehow we've devolved into talking about AIDS and AIDS too. Like, how did we get here? I don't know, but here we are.
But that's why I'm setting up a whole live streaming thing at my house, because like I always have so many things on my mind.
Yeah.
And I just fuck Your around upstairs. Like, well, like even last night, like I love when people are like, I was just like heard a screamo song and then decided to try to turn it soft. And I love how people don't realize how much my life's not thought through and how much I don't like try. but I don't care. Like it's like I'll put a song up. People are like, that's not a very good version. I'm like, bro, this was the first time I tried the song through. It's like you record a song, put it on the internet when you never played it through. You just tried it and then you put that version up. Yeah, it worked. It was good enough. Just like slightly offensive. Good enough.
It's good. It works. It works. We got the average in.
Because it's like the purpose of what I'm trying. I'm not trying to impress anyone in life. It's like with you. It's like I'm just trying to discover and understand life. And like I hate this whole like showcase on the internet of like being perfect. And like that's why if you hear about me that I'm not a perfect person in the future, I'm not. I'll tell you now. I'm like open about things. And that's what I liked about you too. Is like, yeah, we believe in God. Yes, we believe in the God of the Bible. Yes, we know that we're not following everywhere we should as Christians and that we struggle in areas, but so do other people. And they're just not honest about it. And it's like, why are we going to play this fake game? I don't want to play it. In politics, we don't know what's going on. I talk to the people that know what's going on. They don't know what's going on. So, you know, ultimately speaking, it's like we've come together and we're just on a path to discovery. And I think like you've really matured a lot in your worldview over the last, you know, several years in from where you were to where you are now. Like, I think you went from kind of being like someone who was less informed than you should be to someone who probably knows more than you wish you did.
Yeah, I do know a lot now. I pay attention to every aspect that I can in regards to political issues, economic issues, because I think it is important. And, you know, to your point as well of just not really knowing what we're doing, I would say to any young kid listening to this show as well, like, don't worry about perfection and don't worry about, like Elijah said, being perfect before you put something out. Just do it. Do your best. And that's how you learn. You make mistakes. You look like an idiot. And I've always talked about this too, Elijah, that media is such a difficult industry to get into because you have to fail publicly, and that in itself is you know, it can be really embarrassing, especially when you want to be like an on-camera commentator. You say something stupid about politics or something, everyone roasts you about it, but it's just like, you know what, you live and you learn. You got to keep getting back up again and trying again. So to anybody trying to get into this industry, just, it's not fun, it's not easy to fail publicly, but you got to do it.
You know, you're right. And I think, like, and that's what people don't understand. Like, if we play this next clip, like, Savannah and I sometimes just, like, invent stuff as we go. And it's not because we're lazy. It's because, you know, people think that, like, you know, it's like there's some machine, right? If you want things to be predictable, then you're like Fox News. And you're like, you know, you have this producer who writes a certain script and you have a certain way. But life is changing so much every day that I cannot run anything like I know what's going to happen. I have to approach life like I'm learning in the moment. And I remember this one time that we committed sexual harassment on Sarah Gonzalez, which, by the way, is not illegal, but because she's a minority. And I will say that it's true. It's true.
That's not science.
Yeah, it's science. But we committed sexual harassment, and I was like, this whole bit, it was before. I was like, I'm going to go to the store and get these right now.
So good. So what ended up happening in this situation is last minute, our friend posted this tweet. And I was like, Elijah, look at this. I feel like we need to center our show around this. And then Elijah, being Elijah, always takes it to the next level and is like, we're going to physically go and buy the items and make Sarah do this on air. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So...
yeah, and I was going to say, sometimes there are definitely better shows than this show, but they have like 25 people that work on the show, so that's why they're good. Savannah and I don't even know what we're doing. Nobody's telling us what we're doing.
It's like, hope for the best.
We're not even, our studio's not even near the other studios. We're in a broom closet.
We just hope that our computer turns on every day. Like,
it's true.
Truly.
We've had episodes where we've had to shut down the show because the computer just died, and so we're like, I guess this will just end the episode.
Remember that time we shot an episode with Tom McDonald?
Yes, in the middle of the interview, just went, the computer like blew. Blew up, and I was like,
and then we had to go to Micro Center for like 2 hours,
and then I had to pay a recovery center to like we had to like patch the episode,
and we had to call him back like five
and we had to
times.
Like change.
It
keep,
was awful.
Every time the camera changed, we had to move the audio in the software so that it resynced.
Yeah,
it was a lot. 300 clips of him, and it was like for like an interview. Anyway, I just want to remember this great day when Sarah, when we found out
she
about penis
ready.
Sizes, she was not ready for this. Let's watch this. Ooh. So this is from the LA County Public Health for children artwork.
What?
These are for kids. This is publicly funded artwork for kids.
It's still
teaching
funny.
Them about sex.
Yeah.
Now, the carrot thing I never knew about until today that people did this.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Okay. Like,
but
she knows
I figured
it.
We'd all learn something new together.
It. Yeah.
So if you could, underneath the pillow that you're sitting on, can you go ahead and lift it up? I left a couple things back there for you. Mm. Lift up. You can just slide over slightly. Lift
that
up and feel back
set?
There. Lift that up.
What was
that?
Scared.
Let me help you.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
One of the evolutions.
No, shut up.
Sex
Ed with Sarah Gonzalez.
Okay, so we also got you one of these. Okay, so here's
Savannah. I was really hoping I could be left out of this.
Savannah's like, I'm working. I can't. Oh, my God.
I ate every part of it.
My little Chinese rice farmer.
I don't like any part of this. You know what?
Go ahead. Go to her full screen, please.
So
and they tell you that you just do this, and then you put it up your butt.
By the way, I want to remind you in this that we were supposed to get carrots that were what we know to be the real size of an erect penis, and I thought, hey. Baby carrots are still carrots. Sometimes people still prefer baby carrots over carrots. Also, people don't realize baby carrots aren't real. They're just ground up carrots smashed back together with chemicals.
Baby carrots
are just carrots ground and then compressed back together to make them more edible with chemicals.
See, this is the type
binding
of content
agents.
We need to be talking about on the show. Baby carrots don't exist.
No, they're not real. They're fake.
Oh, what?
Because people weren't buying carrots, and this guy was like, we got to make carrots more edible so people don't have to cut them. And so they realized if they ground up carrots and compress them into smaller carrots, that they would.
Stop. That makes so much sense, though.
That's why they're better. They have a different texture, not so hard. They have a smoother texture.
Wow. Wow.
And I could be completely like sometimes I say things I can be like, you're like, dude, that is not true.
I
but
just made that up. Right
no, but now. I've watched something on it. But again, like if I'm at the point in my life where if anybody tells me I'm wrong about something, it's I believe I'm like, all right, cool. No, but I love
you
the
double
carrot.
Down and you're like, no.
This is where El Macron was born. This is where the penis. This is where things were born. So many things were born with you.
Yeah, that's true. We've been through a lot of these inside jokes, a lot of these beautiful moments that we've had together. If one day you guys see a T-shirt with a carrot and a condom on it, with no context on Elijah Schaefer's merch store, it will have been from this old throwback.
Yeah, and I want to look at a few of our favorite TikToks that we both loved. But obviously, guys, Glenn Beck just told me last episode, if you haven't watched it, which is the interview we did with him, which I know it's not doing as well as I would have hoped, but I also know that you guys might not know who Glenn Beck is, and it's a really interesting interview, actually. It's actually quite good. He has good advice for us as well. But obviously, we've been predicting that food's going to keep getting more and more sparse and more expensive, which is why I need to talk to you about my Patriot Supply. So you need food that lasts, and you need food that's a backup. In Texas, our power grid has failed, and we've seen what happens when stores are emptied. You've seen with COVID, we have wars. I saw on Drudge yesterday, Savannah, that it said that Congress is saying that we might need to be prepared for another 10 to 20 year war in regards to Ukraine. It literally said that 10 to 20 year war, they're saying.
I'm even hearing nuclear even. So
yeah. And you saw that they're holding up, Nancy Pelosi is holding up a flag that's half Ukrainian, half American.
Half US, yeah.
It's like, we're the Ukrainian States of America. Well, Jeez. Guys, make sure that you have a backup food option, which is why my Patriot Supply, if you save $50 on their 4-week emergency food kit, this is amazing. The food stays fresh for up to 25 years, which I think is older than you said. Are you 25 yet?
I am 25. So I just turned 25 though in October.
It's literally as old, like this food can live, like your whole life you could have been storing this and it's fine.
Look at me, I'm still good. The food would still be good in 25 years.
I'm sure you're a snack to some people, but these ones, well, I'm not going to say anything. All I'm going to say is that it'll be there when you need it. So get yours now and save $50. Just go to preparewithelijah.com. That's PrepareWithElijah.com. That's preparewithelijah, the full words, .com to save $50. Don't wait until it's too late. Go to preparewithelijah.com right now. You know you made it when you have your own website with your name in it that sells emergency food. Wow, my life is weird, Savannah. None of us thought we'd be here, right?
We really didn't, but here we are, just making the best of it, faking it until we make it, and just having a grand old time, you know.
Yeah, a grand old time in the neighborhood.
Exactly.
I will say, though, that let me go to this. I want to look at a few of our favorite TikToks, because I want to apologize. Let's apologize to the public, because I've said this before, but we might be new here. Mm-hmm. People mocked TikTok and thought it was for children. And it was Musical.ly before, it was like a dancing app, and everyone was like, I don't want to go on there. But early on, my wife got into it when it was new. We used to watch cringe videos on it, and they were just like cringe compilations. And I noticed that it was the most insane people ever, and just like getting into riots early and stuff. While like we're small and we don't get a lot of credit for things because we just won't grift. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we just won't do that shit. Like, Savannah, I want to apologize for making you poor, because like there's so many ways we could have been richer and more successful if we just like compromised a little bit or played into the game. Like, if we just did what other people were doing, then we would have made a lot more money. Like, we've had a lot of opportunities, even saying like, if you stop saying these things or if you don't talk about these things, you can make this amount of money. And not from like Blaze TV itself, but I mean like from advertisers, from people, from speeches, right? Like, I mean, we could have been doing speeches, being blacklisted. We have so many opportunities. It was like, you just can't talk to this person or this person. And so it's like, I don't care. Ooh. I'm gonna do whatever I want. The CEO, I literally asked him, I was like, just like, am I gonna get fired from here anytime soon? And he's like, no. So we're good. Blaze TV's got my back 100%. But that being said, I think we both really helped bring TikTok into the right-wing mainstream media, you know, helping, some accounts launch like Libs of TikTok, et cetera, and also like trying to normalize this and talking to hosts and producers to get these things on their shows. I think that we f***ed up.
Why?
Because I'm so over them. I hate them now. It's they're saturated and it's not even funny anymore. It's just like mentally ill people who suck.
Yeah, it's a lot. It really is a lot. And the TikToks were never my favorite, and every single one of our shows centered around them. And so I finally eventually learned to love them. But we have a couple here that...
You know you loved some of them. Some of them...
Some of them were like, what the hell?
Some of them were actually to the point to where we met our match. And I think... the guy, the Chicago mm-hmm. Sex Dungeon. This is
a classic.
I say that sometimes after a few shots of Russian vodka, which I drink exclusively, I like start saying these guys' lines to Kez. And Kez's like, ew. It's like funny, right? You're just like, sometimes I just like, then people start, I go down, I'm naked and people are peeing on me. It's like,
Please know more about your sex life.
Play it.
I was at like a sex dungeon at this bar in Chicago once. It's like a basement. You had to take off your clothes to get down there. You get down there, there's a bunch of people just in the dark. So I got by like four random people and they all came in me, which was crazy. Somebody probably peed on me down there too. That probably happened. There's just a lot of stuff. There's a lot of fluid around.
It's so bad every time.
The outfit and the legs.
And his, dude, the guy, the interviewer's reaction just, oh my gosh.
I just liked that one because I, there was rare times where I'm like I don't even know who I am anymore, but I will say that this is, I'm not there. So every time I feel bad, I think of this guy. I'm like, man, like, I just wish I was a better guy. Like, I wish, because, you know, like, I it's hard. Like, this industry is just tough. And, like, this world is tough. And, you know, you're listening to this and you know how it is. And especially if you're like me or you're like Sav, where you already have like a psychotic, like crazy personality, it's even harder to, like, in a psychotic world to stay sane. But then, like, also, too, we did love the fat stripper that destroyed Tiny Women.
Oh yeah.
Let's watch this one. I love this one. I just want to start like reminiscing from the ugly, disgusting degenerates that proliferate our world. Oh yeah, when she was doing and
just takes her.
And the confusion of there being a black fat stripper in a Mexican restaurant. Like we never understood this.
Oh my gosh. Whenever we did the episode on this one, we were just like going through this for like 5 to 10 minutes, just really going into every little detail of this video.
I don't know. Next week, I'm going to start going into deep topics, by the way. I'm going in analytical mode, and we're going into a stoic arc, so we're going into it.
Funny enough, that was my dream for this show the entire time I was here. I was like, Lige, you're so smart. I would love more than anything for us to get into these deep dives and really inform people on what's going on. He was like, nah, fat stripper.
Well, I think... like, I have a theory on this. Mm-hmm. Like, think about this. The people that are the most, like, woke social justice warriors, they're always getting caught for, like, sexually harassing women and being perverts and stuff. Like, yeah. The art of war, so I'm not going to go into it. The art of war, I know it. It's like, I'm, you know, and someone, I'm going to describe it like this one said, is he fake being retarded or does he fake being smart? Both. Maybe they're just both natural. Maybe they're not fake. Maybe I'm both retarded and smart.
I guess we'll
I'm
never
smart-tarded. Dude, they should make a shirt that says smart-tarded.
New merch line dropping soon.
Smart-tarded. I will say this. So there was that one. I also love, too, when you got bukkake'd by Antifa. You made some men happy with this one.
No, absolutely not.
Do we have that video?
Yeah, let me
see.
Yeah,
let's watch that. Do we got maced? I think we got maced. And then I'll pull the image up on my end.
Yeah, no. See, this is just us reacting to the image. Let's watch.
Over the weekend, our reporter, Savannah Hernandez, also our resident producer, was there to capture all of the madness. She was maced in the face, and we just want to check in with you.
Yeah.
After getting that cream all over the eyes, and I saw the pictures. Are you doing okay?
Yeah, you know, I'm doing okay. It hurt a little bit, I would say. Luckily for me,
Dude,
videos.
I threw my bukkake photo back on the internet the other day, so don't worry. Like, we're back on the bukkake mode.
I still can't get over the eyebrows.
I told you, they're
can't
not
get over it,
dude. Kayla, Kayla's been my backup. Eyebrows? Kayla's been my backup. It's like, dude, they're not like everyone's freaking out because you didn't have any, so they're so pronounced. It's not like I had brown eyebrows and I dyed them dark. They didn't exist, so you've never seen them. So it's like this. Like, there's like these TikToks that are like, oh my gosh, is anyone like this when like your partner comes out of the shower naked and this like they look over and like the girl has like a towel on and then like it shows to drop, it doesn't show the boobs and the guy's face is like, and I was like, clearly you're not married. Like, how long have you been dating? 4 days? Like, I'm just wondering, like, Like you saw a naked body and you got hard. It's like legitimately speaking, that's what it is. I basically got people hard for my eyebrows. It was like showing my breasts to the world for the first time.
It's true.
It is true. It is so true. Wow. But I'm just saying, like, and that's what it is. And like, also too, everyone's like, well, they look gay. Bro, you guys have been telling me I'm gay since I started the show.
That's true. That's very true.
I don't think it's the eyebrows that make people think I'm gay. I think it's probably the fact that I sound like a homosexual. Yeah. And I'm like literally I would have been America's best gay. I could have been a good gay. Mm-hmm. I could have been a good one.
Yes, definitely. I agree.
It's just the whole actually being gay part. Like, not into it.
Yeah, you could have been like the white Christian Walker.
No. Oh, shit. No.
You know, of the right wing. I'm just saying, like. You could.
Yeah, if gays weren't mostly insufferable people and with mental health issues, and then the whole actual part, like Savannah, you would have made a great lesbian, but then the whole actually having to date a woman part, not fun.
Yeah,
not
I fun. Can't even handle myself. You want me to handle another female? I'm like, I don't think so.
I don't like people. So I'm surprised I'm not, not only am I surprised I'm straight, I'm surprised I'm asexual because I think if I had to choose a sexuality, if I had a choice, if we chose, I would choose like what Paul said in the Bible to just like never have sex again. Like screw that. I would just be like, hey, I want you to turn off my sex drive.
Like, yeah, you'd be more productive that way,
like,
you know?
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, no one talks about this. Everyone talks about sexuality and even healthy sexuality. And no one talks about like Paul saying, hey, a lot of you guys would just be better off if you're not that into it. That's what I tell a lot of these trad Cath kids who are like really don't like women and are like, they just don't want to have kids. I'm like, dude, then don't. Go serve God. Like, just don't get married. Maybe later on you'll get married when you're 36, but for right now, just focus. Like, I have some people I work with that are like, I think I want to just like not have sex and like, you know, try to do what's right and like not worry about getting married. I'm like, go do that. Yeah, go work in the world.
Doesn't it talk about how important it is to be single and how if you are single, it's actually better than being married?
Not Chronicles. You're talking about,
Corinthians?
Yeah.
First Corinthians, sorry. First Corinthians.
I don't know if that is Corinthians, but probably. Sure.
But yeah, it's like, an address to the churches of Corinth, but they're basically talking about how being single is sometimes even better than being married because then you can dedicate all of your time and energy towards God.
Yeah, though, that's what I'm saying is like I genuinely just want to remind people of that like that's what people are like, ha ha ha, Fuentes doesn't want to have sex. I'm sure that's probably why he's able to keep doing what he's doing, because he's not in a relationship, because it takes a lot of your time and I mean this in loving to Kez too, but like a lot of times like you have to think about another person and you can't just go take the same risks that you always could, unless you're me and you just freak your wife out all the time by doing insane things. But that's what it is. I also have this too, bring my book. Do we have Elijah beat up pick? What is that?
Yes, of course we have our poor little Lige. Oh yeah, beat up. Oh dude, your lip.
Well, people don't realize on the inside, it came apart. So like they cut all the nerves in the inside of my face and I had to get surgery, which sucked. And it was expensive. I've spent so much money on this shit.
That's like, you. That's me. Just some of our, you know, beautiful, beautiful moments.
And to remind people, the only reason why we focus on it is because it happened at gunpoint. So that's what's so lame about it. The guy had a gun, which is really crazy. But anyway, we also took a pic. I remember you and I, Sav, we, you know, took some pictures with Alex Jones. We loved that. You and I have just off camera been, we actually hung out. Yeah, that was him here. That's my I have a gun and I'm schizophrenic sweater.
Yeah. You haven't worn that one again in a while.
I'm trying to get Blaze to let me put it on the shop. Mm-hmm. People would buy it.
They really would. They really would.
I know. I'm trying to let I a lot of my merch doesn't go up because I don't know if Phil can sell it.
That will be the picture selling this this exact hoodie too, next to Alex Jones.
And before we get emotional and close out, we also had us. Remember, we accidentally ended up in Trump Tower in a real gingerbread elevator. I don't know how that makes sense.
Dude, that
it was
elevator,
made of gingerbread.
Yeah, it smelled so good in there.
And we had to have like a liaison, and he was like, "You want to go in?" There was kids with cancer on the walls.
Yeah, he was like, "You want to be in this gingerbread elevator?" And we were like, "Yeah, it smells amazing in here."
Why do we? What is this? Gunther's a baby puppy. I don't see this before. What is this?
No, I don't know. I just put it in there because he looked cute and he was a puppy.
You see?
Yeah.
Can we bring that up?
Let me see. No, your NDI is not working.
Oh, I'll bring it up. Yeah, it should be working. It's not working.
Okay, let's see. It'll have to be on your computer. I had those.
Is it not working?
I just didn't have a Gunther as a puppy.
No, I'll get it up.
It's because you and I were talking about yesterday how we've been together, you know, as a.
Is it working now?
No, it's not. This is just the perfect like chef's kiss of our entire show, our equipment. Not
as working. You're like okay. A different color.
Yeah. Now it's working. It's loading right now. But,
Wow.
Look how cute he is.
How precious he is. Wow.
But
wow.
No, the reason I put that in there was because remember we were talking about how like our work relationship has gone on so long that we lived through a life and a death together.
Yeah. We had to bring that up. Guys, you don't remember Gus. We started life out where we had Gus. If you guys remember the Gus arc,
yeah,
where we had Gus and we loved him so much. And then I did like a black dad thing and I abandoned him.
Yeah. Straight up on my doorstep.
Yeah. I couldn't take him with me.
Firehouse.
I couldn't take him with me. I was just like, I couldn't take care of him anymore. So I left him on her door with a letter from Gus's parents saying that he was abandoned. And then your brother, he went from white Elijah to brown Elijah.
Brown Elijah. Yeah.
And he ended up living a full life eating one. Your brother treated him well. And then he ended up dying.
Yeah. My brother made him like a little like hamster penthouse and hand cut him fruit. He had a beautiful life and then he died. But then we brought in Gunther. Gunther was added into the mix. And yeah, I saw Gunther when he was a little baby puppy. And now he's a humongous, gigantic adult dog. And it's like time just passes so quickly. It really does.
And now to the closure.
To the end.
To the end of the end. So Savannah, it's titled Goodbye Savannah. Because mm-hmm. Savannah is not leaving. She's moving on to bigger and greater things. Like, I know some people, when people leave, it's like awkward, and there's still gonna be some of you guys are gonna be like, oh, like the show's bad without her. And it won't be the same, but it's gonna be different. And we're gonna change some things. And we're gonna, the world is different, right? I mean, you didn't know that Justin Trudeau was gonna, you know, enact the Great Reset 3 weeks ago.
Really unassuming, really unassuming.
Yeah, I never expected him to be the one to implement the Great Reset. But with Sav going on and leaving, I know it might be like a shock to some of you guys and slightly bizarre. And usually there's no send-offs for producers, but Savannah isn't just a producer. She's a part of the show and she never won't be a part of the show. And we've appreciated her being here for so long and for what she's done. Sav, because you can't really, well, I guess you're the same way. Just like we don't know what we're doing here. You don't really know what you're doing, but you're going off to pursue your dream.
Yeah, I'm going to take over the cam here for a minute and just basically tell people. So it's been my dream ever since I was in college to go out and report full time on the ground. So over the next year and for the midterms, I'm dedicating full time to doing just that. So you guys can still go follow all of my work. Me and Elijah have talked about me still coming on the show and reporting to you guys everything that's going on in America, because you guys know it's about to be crazy this next year. But yeah, go follow me on my different socials on Instagram. I'm also on Truth Social at Sav Says. I'm on Twitter at Rapid Fire_pod, and of course I have my YouTube Sav Says, and I'm going to be reporting and living out my dream and going out there and getting the footage that is needed for these types of shows. So I'm excited.
Yeah, and so that's the key thing is, like, while she won't be here, she's still going to be a guest both in person and on the internet too, like to Skype in. And also, this is where I'll say this, we still might end up hanging out, because I myself am also getting out of retirement from reporting. I got a budget back for reporting, and well, it's just in time for the elections. I kind of coming back in. I'm like everything, how everything's coming back for the elections.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm coming back willing to do what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And we'll go back to being wild hooligans into tomfoolery, which I love that word, tomfoolery, back on the field and hanging out. But when the times I can't make it, it's really, I'm excited for you. I love it. And I don't feel like I have to say everything, because this isn't goodbye. It's just a until next time, which is true. It's just, you won't be here on every episode. But also, too, if people don't realize this, as the time you're viewing this, Sav is actually not being replaced, because we couldn't. Sav had such a good opportunity that she couldn't pass it up, that we did not have any time to find somebody to replace her.
I tried. We tried.
So
we really tried.
So this is the last episode of the show. We're canceling it, actually, after this. No, I'm just kidding. It's so what it is we're not replacing her. And so I'm not saying anything on this episode. You'll just find out what's happening. You got to just stay tuned in on what's going on. I do have a plan. It is being implemented. We're not going to stop producing the show. The show may be a little bit different for the next couple of weeks as we make some transitions and work on it. And we thank you for just sticking with us as we enter into this new chapter. Guys, 2022, the midterms, COVID ended. We're at war with Ukraine. It's a great time for Sav to get out there. And we're so supportive. And I want to remind you that if you watch the show, if you listen, if anything, go support Savannah. Follow her because you're not going to get her every episode here. For the next maybe at least 2 to 4 episodes, we'll make sure we dedicate a good time in the beginning to explaining to people who don't tune in that why she's not here and explaining what the issue is. But also to make sure that you guys go follow her so you can keep consuming and that she has the financial support from you guys and the views to give her the motivation to keep going out there and risking her life to get the good stories. As you've noticed, there's a lot of confusion on what's going on at the same time that all of your trusted reporters from the ground aren't going out anymore.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a correlation. I'm not saying that me, just so many people I know aren't going out right now. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden none of us know what the hell's happening. And we realize
confused.
So we're like, we all need to get back out there.
Yeah.
And some of this may be international, I just want to say. So there you go.
Very exciting stuff ahead for everybody.
Savannah, I don't want to get too emotional because I can, and I think as men, we can get tears, as I got teared up in the beginning, because it is sad to end an era, but it is also exciting. And I'm glad that you're not leaving because you hate me, because there were moments where, like I said, some hate crimes almost happened. And the fact that you're going on to do these things, and the fact that it's such a good opportunity that it's going to like continue to develop and that people are going to be able to go alongside the road with you and mm-hmm. you can pursue those dreams. We support you fully, like 110%. And I also wanted to buy you a going away gift to give on air, but you were leaving so quickly.
I know,
that like
I don't
have time to wait 6 weeks for Pete Buttigieg's supply chain to get me a gift.
Fair.
But I will say,
OMG, a piece of your script.
I'm giving you a piece of your the final script, which is a corner.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just like, I'm gonna make this up. Just like this paper's white and it's a little bit torn, mm-hmm. but it's still the most of it's still there. A little piece of me being a white person is torn off with you leaving, but I leave a little piece of me with you. Hell yeah, I should write a book.
That was beautiful. And if you guys see me on the field with a gold chain around my neck, with one piece of paper hanging from it, you know what that means. You know what that means, SOBs. You guys always have my heart. I love you guys so much. And I'll still be back on this show because I love my SOBs. And I'll miss you guys. I'll miss, you know, the confetti of color all the time in our faces. And the Diversity Coalition, Madison Girl, where you at? We had to hide them because Glenn was in the studio. So
yeah, we can't let Glenn know how we actually do the show because we'll get fired.
You're like, hide the Barbies before Glenn comes up. And I was like, okay. So they'll make their reappearance. So don't worry. Sav may be gone, but the show will still be diverse. And I'll be back. We'll be back.
Someone's chopping onions underneath the desk.
I know, stop. I don't like this.
It's Lila Hart. She's standing up.
Oh, no. You kill me. You kill me.
It's just been a tough couple of years, you know? It's been a tough couple years.
You're
going to
make me cry. I'm not going to go on screen. Stop. Don't cry, Elijah. Don't cry. You're going to make me cry.
You're going to find out that Sav has a heart, which is new news. If she has tears, I'm going to find out Sav has a heart. I didn't know that, but I will just say these are tears of joy, of a good moment, of just soaking it all in.
I love you, Light. I really do.
We've just been through a lot of shit together. You've been a reliable, you know, this is not about the show. It's about a friendship, you know, not having you around, you know, for the good times, you know, at the parties, us being, you know, retards.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if I'll find another Mexican that I can throw a pizza at.
I know.
So it's just, it sucks. And like, you know, and I think it's okay. I think people need to understand that, you know, it's just the end of an excellent era, you know? So thank you for leaving things. I told you I wasn't going to do this, but
I know. I wasn't prepared to cry. And, the reason why I'm okay right now is because obviously, like, behind the scenes, I've just been dealing with, like, leaving and departing. And
yeah.
You've
known
you
longer
guys.
Than I have.
I know.
But I just say, I just am so appreciative of the work that you've both done for me, for the company. And, you know, so most of these tears are not about the public stuff, but just the way you've been there as a friend to me, to Kez, to everybody. And I can't help but get emotional about it. I can't help.
Right.
And so I just leave it there.
I love you guys. I love you.
We love you. We appreciate you. And it's sad to see you leave, but it's happy to. So in that note, Sav, you want to sign off?
Yes. Guys, my name is Savannah Hernandez here with my favorite Elijah Schaefer and, of course, all of you SOBs. May God bless the United States of America. We're signing out.
Oh, well, it was nice while it lasted, right?
It was nice while it lasted.